Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Brown, a research scientist ethology with the Prairie Swine Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Brown.
My pleasure, Bruce.
As part of the 2020 Manitoba Swine Seminar, you discussed the topic, Loose Sow Housing, Managing Social Behavior and Aggression. First of all, why has aggression become an area of increasing concern lately?
In general, when we're managing sows in groups instead of in stalls, that's the most obvious behavioral problem that we're going to see, right? So understanding why sows are aggressive and when they are and so what motivates that behavior and how the different ways that we can control it is certainly going to help producers in having greater success with group housing.
What are we seeing in terms of the numbers of sows being managed in groups now compared to being managed in stalls? How has that changed and what have been the motivations for that change?
Right. Well, when the latest code of practice came out in 2014, certainly that was promoting producers moving to group sow housing, and we've certainly seen that across the country now for the last 6 years or so. We don't have really accurate numbers right now on the number of producers in groups. I did hear the Canadian Pork Council is in the process of collecting that data. I think in Quebec it's as high as like 38% of sows are in groups already. I think across the country we're more from 20 to 30% of sows are now being managed in groups, but we can expect that number to continue to rise.
What type of time frames may that be expected to change and to what levels?
Right. Well, currently, the code is trying to promoting it the changeover to groups by 2024. But I think producers are hoping that some of them are hoping that will be extended. Certainly, it's a huge investment, and if producers are not making a big profit on pigs at this time, then certainly they're going to want to delay those renovations a little bit further.
In terms of the pros and cons, what are the comparisons between sows housed in stalls compared to those housed in loose housing or groups?
Well, it really depends on the system. There's so many different management factors, and it depends on who you're speaking to and how successful they've been in implementing group housing. Certainly with stalls, we're all very familiar with the way they're designed and how they should be managed. But there's some variation there, obviously. But with group housing, depending on the feeding system you're using and your grouping practices, the results are more variable. But with some of the better producers, certainly I've heard reports of more consistent body condition of sows. And so we know from a health perspective that that's very beneficial for the long-term productive life of sows. So these herds have also seen a reduction in mortality rate due to being able to better manage feed provision, especially in these ESF and free access ESF systems where, each sow gets a specific amount of feed.
What are the key factors that tend to influence social interaction, social behavior of sows housed in groups?
Right. Well, that's what I was speaking about here at the Manitoba Swine Seminar yesterday, because now that producers, I think, are more familiar with all the different group housing systems that are out there, I think we need to dig in a little bit deeper and into how we manage sows in these groups. And to do that, we need a better understanding of the sow's behavioral motivation and how her social behavior develops over time. So I was talking a little bit about guilt development. So if we're developing guilts specifically for group housing systems, there's a lot of things that we can do to promote their social development in terms of mix them a little bit earlier so they develop that social skills and learn how to get along with other pigs even before they go to the nursery. So the studies have proven that. And then also while you're developing gilts, certainly you want to have very good flooring, so they develop foot and leg health is well developed. And then mixing them multiple times before they even come to the breeding stage, that will help them become a better citizen when they go into a group housing system later on. So there's a lot of things we can do, as I say, with the gilts. So that relates to their learning and their experience. Also genetics, so definitely all the genetics companies are now looking at developing sows for group housing systems. So they are looking again at aggressive traits, and if animals are excessively aggressive, obviously that's going to be damaging to other animals in groups. So we can actually deliberately select against aggression, because it's a behavior that's fairly heritable, and so you can select for that trait. And understanding the social hierarchy of sows is very important, because of course when we put them in a group, there's always going to be a social order that forms. So understanding what goes into that, certainly the more, if sows are familiar with one another, that's obviously going to reduce the aggression between them. Sorting sows by parity, so you don't want to have your gilts or your parity ones in with your older parity sows, because it's a more threatening social situation for them. So studies at Prairie Swine Center and Minnesota have shown that if you can separate out those different parities, especially the younger sows are going to benefit. They're going to have higher back fat and have better conception rates in those isolated systems. Group size, certainly now we've got some large group dynamic pen systems, so managing those properly. Like some producers are having like a pre-mixing pen, so a group that is going to go into a large dynamic group, you familiarize that small group that's going to go in that week in a separate pen. So then when they enter that large dynamic pen, they will still stay together. So they've got friends and social partners, and it will again reduce that stress of going into a large dynamic group. So there's many things that we can do to kind of reduce that social stress.
What influence does space allowance and the configuration of that space have, and what do producers need to be thinking about in terms of the allocation of space?
Right. Certainly, that's a big consideration when you're doing a renovation. And if you're building new, sure, you've got the liberty to design a pen that's going to be specifically laid out for groups. But we've seen some successful renovations. Small groups can work, but you need to give them a little bit extra space, because they need, in addition to just the physical space for being able to lie down, they need to be able to be able to separate their feeding, lying, and dunging areas effectively if those sows are going to remain clean and healthy. So that's the kind of space allowances we see in the code of practice. And then even providing a little bit extra space, especially for small groups, is going to help reduce social tension, because a subordinate animal can get away from the dominance more easily and be able to access feed and water and that sort of things without the stress of competing with the dominance. So, space allowance is important, but it also depends on the size of the group that you've got, and that's going to depend on, again, on your feeding system that you've chosen.
How important are the interactions between the pigs and their handlers, and why?
Certainly it is quite important. A lot of research has been done in Australia, especially on this topic, not only just looking at the performance of the animals, but actually looking at the personality characteristics of high-producing farms, so the producers themselves. And it's been demonstrated not only with swine, but also with dairy cows and with poultry. If you have a calm animal handler who is interacting positively with the animals on a daily basis, that directly correlates to the productivity of the animals. Certainly, having regular contact with animals, whether you're speaking to them or patting them or just handling them in a gentle fashion and effectively, that has an impact on the bottom line. Yeah.
What do handlers need to be keeping in mind to maximize the effectiveness of that interaction?
Right. I don't think you need to coddle your animals, but certainly walking through the barns, pen walking with growing pigs is very important. Not just walking by the pens, but actually physically getting into the pens and walking around so that animals are familiar and confident around the human handlers. And that's what we see in a lot of these group housing barn designs now. You have a step-through gate, so people don't actually have to open a gate or step over a pen gate to get into the pen. So this is a really nice way that farm staff can enter the pens and easily pen walk them without a lot of effort. Yeah.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, certainly, we do expect to see a lot of collaboration and connection between the technology that's used in new barns and in feeding sows, and new approaches to gilt development and training of animals going into the future, with the hope that we'll see a higher longevity in these animals because we've invested that time and additional energy in these animals. The fitness that they can get from group housing should also benefit them in the long term, so we'll have a higher lifetime productivity. So greater efficiency going hand in hand with better welfare.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Jennifer Brown, a research scientist ethology with the Prairie Swine Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.